You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, by God's grace and through His gift of faith, we know God the Father and His Son. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we believe the Bible is the inerrant and infallible Word of God. Nevertheless, though, sometimes I can feel this way, and maybe sometimes you can too. Sometimes I can feel like my sins are not forgiven. Sometimes I can feel like God has abandoned me. Sometimes I can feel like evil will ultimately win. Can you relate to any of those things? My prayer for us is tonight, on this New Year's Eve 2019, that God will work in our hearts and minds. He will do so by His Spirit through His Word in order to convince us that no matter what we are thinking, no matter what we are feeling, no matter what we are experiencing, may God convince us that God is for us. So you might ask, how is God for us? Let me answer that question as we get into Romans chapter 8. Paul wrote some words of encouragement, and he did so in the form of questions. Go into verse 31, the Bible says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" The answer is no one. Why is that the answer? Because God is almighty and God is with us. Therefore, no one can succeed against us. And then Paul continued, "God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Think about that. Think about that question. He's saying that God gave us his greatest treasure, his only son. If God would give us his greatest treasure, we can know beyond all doubt that he will certainly give us every lesser thing that we need. And then Paul wrote, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect?" Again, the answer is no one. Why is that the answer? Because Paul continued and wrote, "It is God who justifies." In other words, God has made us just in his sight through Jesus. That means all the charges against us have been dismissed. And then Paul wrote, "Who is to condemn?" Again, the answer is no one. Why is that true? Paul continued and wrote, "Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." Did you note the four reasons why we cannot be condemned? Let me state them again. Jesus died, Jesus was raised, Jesus ascended, and Jesus is praying to the Father on our behalf. Let us rejoice. And then Paul wrote, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Again, the answer is no one. And then to go further, Paul wrote, regarding being separated from the love of Christ, he wrote, "Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" Those are all horrible things. And we are blessed because we, this night, are not experiencing any of them. But let us know, though, that even if we did, those horrible things could not separate us from God's love in Christ. And then, in order to help us understand that suffering is not defeat, even though it looks like defeat, Paul wrote, "As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. In other words, Paul was saying, as believers who are suffering, we look like losers. But then Paul continued and wrote, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Here's the point. In Christ, no matter how much we suffer, we are always winners. The main thing is being in Jesus Christ. Finally, to eliminate everything that could possibly result in separation, Paul wrote these famous words. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then we come to the second and final part here of the sermon. The question is, how has God shown his support? I want to take a look now at three seemingly impossible situations in which God gave a very strong victory. In each case, let us remember that these victories pointed ahead to Jesus' ultimate victory over sin, death, and the devil. First of all, we go to Pharaoh's army versus the Israelites. This true story is recorded in Genesis chapter 14. We're going back to the time of Moses and the people coming out of Egypt, and we know they left as a result of the 10 plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians. Then they were in the wilderness, and then God was guiding them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And God guided them to camp right by the Red Sea. There were many people, but they had no weapons, they had no military experience. And then Pharaoh showed up, and not only Pharaoh, but all of his officers, all of his horses and chariots, and all of his army. Why were they there? They were there to either take the Israelites captive and take them back to Egypt to again enslave them, or they were there to put them to death. It looked completely impossible, and then the Lord stepped in. Then the Lord parted the sea. Then the Lord made the way of escape for the Israelites. And then, when they were safely on the other side, he opened the way for the Egyptians to pursue them. And right when they were in the middle of the Red Sea, the Lord let it come back in place and drowned them all. The Israelites were in a seemingly impossible situation, and yet, why was everything okay? Because God was for them. Here's a second situation. We all know this one, Goliath versus David. You can find the true story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistine and Israelite armies were in a battle line against each other. And then Goliath, the Philistine champion, who was 9 feet tall, he said these words to the Israelites. Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. The only problem was every Israelite soldier was afraid to accept the challenge. It just so happened that David had shown up to check up on his older brothers. David was not a soldier. David was only a shepherd. But yet God filled him with the Holy Spirit. God filled him with courage. And he went up against the great Philistine champion. Here's what the Bible says happened. David took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. He fell on his face to the ground. He wasn't dead yet. He fell on his face. And then the Bible says, David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword, that is, the sword of the Philistine, and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head. It looked for certain as if Goliath would win, the Philistine army would win, and yet God intervened, God was with David, God was for David, and God gave him a great victory, not only to David, but to all of the Israelites. And again, all of these stories are pointing ahead to Jesus' ultimate victory over sin, death, and the devil. One more final account here as I conclude the message tonight. We have the account of Assyria versus Jerusalem. This true story is recorded in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19. Assyria, back at that time, they were the world power. Their army had traveled to Jerusalem and surrounded the city. Their army had nearly 200,000 soldiers, and now a representative of their army comes and speaks to King Hezekiah, who is the king over the southern kingdom of Judah. He's there in Jerusalem, and this representative of Assyria, he gives Hezekiah and those in Jerusalem a message from the king of Assyria. He said, "Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of my hand. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us.'" In other words, the Assyrian king was trying to get the people to give up, to realize they had no hope, to surrender, to become slaves. What happened? The Bible says, that night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. So the angel of the Lord showed up. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. And he showed up and he wiped out the entire Assyrian army. When God is for us, it makes all the difference in the world. And like Paul wrote, God is for us. Let us know that is true, even when we don't think he is, even when we don't feel it, even when we're not experiencing it, let us know God is for us. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whenever things seem impossible for us, let us always remember that you are for us. You are for us now. You are going to be for us in 2020, and you are for us forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.